Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have a returning guest. His name is Steve Cortez. He's a CNN political commentator. He's also president of the Trump Hispanic Advisory Council and Trump 2020 reelect campaign advisor. Steve, thank you so much for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Hey, Jerry, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Sure. All right, let's talk about the caravan that's working its way through Mexico and the whole issue of open borders and how that plays out in the midterms.
Right. I almost don't like to call it a caravan because I think caravan is a little bit too friendly a term that implies something sort of joy. And this is not that. This is really a mob of trespassers, quite frankly. And that might sound harsh, but that's just the reality. And I think the fact that they are waving foreign flags and marching toward our border and telling us that they're going to demand entry into our country, that they're going to break and enter into the United States and demand to be welcomed here, is really a reminder for the electorate what's at stake in this election. And that is the Democratic Party, who's become increasingly open and honest about what they really want. They don't use the term open borders, but that's the policy they're pursuing. They want to eliminate ICE, and that's now reaching senior members of the party, sitting governors, mayors of New York, our biggest city, New York City, et cetera. They don't favor reforming our disastrous immigration laws, which unfortunately can facilitate groups and encourage groups like this caravan to come here. So I think it's crystallizing that for the voters in their minds. And I think if this was organized, I don't know exactly who organized it, but if it was organized by left-leaning groups, I think they badly miscalculated, because I think politically this is actually playing very much into our hands.
Hmm. Well, you write this. You say that illegal aliens who knowingly break into our country are undocumented the same way a burglar in our home is an unregistered house guest. Interesting.
Right. No, that's right. And I think that's really the way we need to think of it. You lock your doors at night, not because you hate those on the outside, but because you love those on the inside. And that's a sensible way to operate a home. It's a sensible way to operate a country. So the mainstream media wants to constantly portray the fact that we are against illegal immigration as being somehow racist or xenophobic, and nothing could be further from the truth. Having sensible borders, real borders that are enforced, is really just a bedrock principle of any nation state. If you cease to have a border, you really cease to be a country. And I think we only need to look at Europe for the unfortunate reality of where this can lead. You know, Germany, for instance, has become a country that is really overrun with refugees from the Middle East. It's changed that country dramatically and in bad ways, with a lot of people who don't want to assimilate, who are largely dependent on state largesse, and have really, made Germany in many ways a different country. We don't want something like that to happen here. We love Latin American immigration. It has to be legal. You know, people like my father, millions and millions of people have come from Latin America to the United States and found the American dream here and become, there's almost 60 million Hispanic Americans. They're a treasure to this country. So this has nothing to do with race or skin color or ethnicity. It has everything to do, though, with following the law and with processes. And it's not unreasonable. In fact, it's quite sensible and just that we have a process to become a legal American citizen.
Okay, now, as we see the images of, especially some of the young people and kids in the, in the caravan. Now listen, hey, the second word in your article says is caravan. Another caravan.
No, I do call it caravan.
Okay.
Do,
yeah. Another caravan of thousands of border crosses is amassing in Central America. But you can't help but feel compassionate. You want to help these people. Your heart goes out
sure.
to them, especially those with legitimate situations where it's like, hey, life stinks so bad in my native Honduras that I'm just going to try and, make something better for myself and my family. So the heart goes out to them. But on the other hand, America can't feed the whole world. So, there's probably millions more that want to come to this country. So how do we almost balance compassion, kindness, Christian virtues with,
right.
A common sense approach that, hey, I lock my door at night. That doesn't make me a bad person.
Right. No, listen, it's an excellent question, and I think something that we all have to wrestle with, certainly in our personal lives, for instance, right? Those of us who are Christians are called to give and to give generously, for example, to charity and to help the poor, within our midst and internationally. That doesn't mean, though, again, to use the house analogy, it doesn't mean, though, that I open my home and say, okay, anyone who wants to simply because I have a nice house, all of you should come in and make yourselves at home, because pretty soon, what are we doing? We're actually just sharing poverty, right? Rather than helping anyone. And that's true for a country as well. So you're right, though. Yeah, listen, of course I empathize. You know, and as you said, my father fled. Now, thankfully, Colombia is in a pretty good state in terms of its economy and security and so forth. But when he fled Colombia, things were terrible in that country, economically, security-wise, extreme violence. So I have a total heart for people who want America. And I don't begrudge anybody for wanting this country. But I do have a problem if they take it upon themselves to say, I will determine how I become an American. And you, America, have nothing to say about it. And I'm going to wave a Honduran flag. You know, and that part, too, particularly rankles me, not just because of the emotional revulsion I feel, which I do. But in addition, it's like, if you're proud of Honduras, and I think that's great if you are, if you feel a nationalism for Honduras, please go back there and make Honduras better. Rather than fleeing. And let's be honest, too, for the most part, it's young men fleeing. These are economic migrants, for the most part. There are absolutely some really awful human stories of children, of women who are in really terrible situations. Those do exist. But the vast majority of the migrants, both in Europe and now we see here in this caravan, they're young men who want economic opportunity. And again, I don't at all belittle that desire. I respect it, in fact. But, you know, as you mentioned, if the United States were to say any poor person in the world who wants to come to the U.S. is welcome here, we would cease to be the United States any longer. So there's nothing small-minded about saying we love legal immigration. We're going to control it. And it is up to us to decide as a country. It's up to U.S. citizens to decide what the criteria will be for letting people in. And by the way, that criteria has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with skills, with hustle, with safety, and with a love of our values. Do you love our values and our Constitution? And to me, those are the critical areas where we should analyze potential new Americans. But one way to not become a new American is just show up at the border, cross the border, and demand that you stay.
Okay, explain to me what you think are the best ways for the president to handle the crisis in terms of, you know, as more and more people come, especially we saw what happened with the children being separated from their parents, you know, at the borders. And by the way, that story was grossly exaggerated. In fact, I remember I did some research on this, and the one thing that was just shocking to me was that 83% of the children that were separated from an adult were not separated from their parents. It was some other adult. So in other words, it wasn't like these were normal, intact families crossing the border and then the Trump administration heartlessly separated from them from each other. And, you know, maybe there were a few like that, but not the vast majority. But anyway, how would you recommend the president handle this, especially as the midterms come closer?
Right. No, listen, there are no great options here, unfortunately. But here's what I think, and it's, I have been in communications with not the president himself, but very senior White House staff. I think that right now we need to get tougher with Mexico because Mexico is turning their problem into our problem. And what I mean by that is they are allowing and even facilitating the travel of this caravan and previous ones through their country. And Mexico is an enormous country to cross. But they're allowing it, and it's, they're passing the buck and saying, let's make this their problem, send it to the U.S. border. That's wrong. It violates international law. It's wrong logically, and it's not the act of a friend and ally. And Mexico is a friend and ally, but they're not acting like it in this specific circumstance. So how do we get them to act more appropriately? I think the main way is economic force and economic sanctions. There's an enormous trade between the U.S. and Mexico. It's important for both countries, but it's way more important to Mexico than to us. I think the president needs to start threatening trade sanctions, and I mean immediate ones. And that's something he can do basically on his own without the Congress. And I think that if they feel the economic pain, or at least the threat of economic pain, that will be very motivating to them so that they act and that this caravan does not actually get to our border. If it does get all the way to our border, look, I don't think we're willing to use lethal force against unarmed people. I just don't. So I don't think that the military solution, I'm not against sending the military there for logistical purposes, and perhaps they can do things with barricades and so forth. But let's face it, I don't think they're going to be willing to use real force against them. So what do we do then? There's a lot of talk within the White House, and I think this will happen, of an executive order where the problem is, one reason why it's so many Central Americans rather than Mexicans is if a Mexican's caught at the border and doesn't have a legitimate reason to be here, they can be repatriated extremely quickly, that day, as a matter of fact. But because of U.S. law, it's a dumb loophole in U.S. law. If you're not from a contiguous country, which Central American ones are not, they are not returned immediately. That law needs to be changed. But in the meantime, what the president can do through executive order is effectively make those countries part of the travel ban countries so that they can be immediately repatriated. And there's a lot of talk about doing that in the coming days, and I hope he does. It's unfortunate that we need to resort to these measures, but I just think that's where we are. Longer term, to me, the solution is a wall. We have to elect Republicans to Congress so that we get the wall in 2019 and 2020, and that solves 99% of these problems.
Would you say that a vote for Democrats would be for open borders, for more sanctuary cities, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, actually, I wrote an article about this very topic for Real Clear Politics. I said, you know, vote for the wall on November 6th is the title of it. And if you vote for the Democrats, you're voting for the elimination or at least the restriction of ICE, those brave people who defend us. You're voting for sanctuary cities. And, you know, here's the lunacy of sanctuary cities. I actually saw an interview with Tom Holman, who was the former ICE director, somebody I've come to know, really respect. He said the lunacy of the liberals is they don't want to build a wall to keep dangerous illegal aliens out, but then they do want sanctuary cities to keep them in once we know they're in our midst, once they've already been arrested, already been charged with serious crimes. We then don't want them deported. I mean, on both sides of that equation, that's just total illogic. And it's liberal lunacy, and it's them pandering to the most fringe elements of the left. And I think it's going to cost them in this election. I do think this caravan, while I'm not happy it's happening because it's a bad situation for the U.S., and I think it's bad, frankly, for a lot of those migrants who are part of it. Mm-hmm. But politically, I have to say, I'm kind of glad it's happening because, again, I think it's putting front and center. It's reminding people in a very stark way, this is what's at stake. If the Democrats win, and if that border remains porous and gets even more open, there's going to be a caravan after caravan. It won't stop.
You know, we've seen, speaking of protests, so this is not something that they show very much, but I think it should be shown. In Portland, Oregon, there have been some pretty nasty, violent protests by, Antifa or that kind of group against ICE. And some of them have been, they've bordered on violence.
No, for sure. You know, they were allowed to build sort of a shanty town next to the ICE offices there.
The protesters.
And the protesters did.
Okay.
And the worst part of it was they were constantly slinging insults at the ICE officers as they would come to and fro and doing their business. And a lot of them, ironically, racial insults. Because guess what? A lot of ICE officers are minorities. There's a ton of Hispanics. The Border Patrol, for example, is the most Hispanic organization in the federal government, majority Hispanic. ICE is an incredibly Hispanic organization, which just makes sense, right? They need a lot of people who speak Spanish. So the idea that ICE is a bunch of, white thugs who are picking on brown people, that's just a total myth that the mainstream media and the left want us to believe. The reality is otherwise. And Portland, quite frankly, worries me. The way they let Antifa at times take over streets and intimidate regular citizens and resort to violence is really, really wrong. You know, look, I think political violence is always wrong, whether it's from some right-wing skinhead in Charlottesville or it's from Antifa, harassing regular people going about their business or beating up somebody because he's wearing a MAGA hat. You know, political violence is wrong, and it can't be tolerated in this country.
Boy, I agree. We have about a minute left. How about a quick comment in terms of mobs or jobs? I mean, I understand the Hispanics are doing quite well, as are blacks, as are most Americans in this economy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things I love most about this economic acceleration we're seeing is that the economic underdogs are doing great now. The people who didn't under the slow growth model of the Obama years, so people without a high school education. People who are factory wage earners, blacks, Hispanics. So all of the economic underdogs, the strivers, people who didn't participate in the previous prosperity that only went to the few are now participating. It's great for this country. We can accelerate the growth if we give the president a Republican Capitol Hill come November 6th. So I just really encourage the listeners, get out and vote. Bring your friend. Bring somebody from church. Bring your relative. Get out and vote. We need to hand the president the tools he needs to continue this renaissance in America.
Steve Cortez, thanks so much for being with us. At Cortez Steve is his Twitter handle, and Cortez is spelled C-O-R-T-E-S. Thank you, Steve. All the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Jerry.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye-bye.